Welcome to the Rooted and Established podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Snyder, and I'm so glad you're here, taking time out of your busy life to join in the conversation. In this space, we'll discuss what it means to live a life rooted in Christ and what that looks like practically in the different areas of our lives. Through short, manageable episodes that you can listen to while doing the dishes or taking a shower, we'll talk about how to live our lives intentionally as Christ followers. My prayer is that in whatever roles we fill or responsibilities we have, no matter where we are planted, we will become rooted and established in Christ. Rebecca, welcome to the Rooted and Established podcast.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for having me. This is so fun.
This is so great. You are a mom and a military spouse and an author, and I'm sure you have so many other roles, but those are kind of the key things that we're going to be touching on today. So I am so excited to have you here. Would you just share a little bit about yourself and what you have going on in your life these days?
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Rebecca Hargraves and my family and I live in Tennessee. Depending on where you're from as you're listening, you might detect a little bit of that Southern accent. But my husband Owen and I have been married for 8 years now. We have two kiddos that are 7 and 5. We just like went right for it. So my days are filled with homeschooling them. And actually my youngest is starting kindergarten this fall. So that'll be even more. I'm used to kind of homeschooling his older sister, but homeschooling. And I have a podcast as well. It's so fun to talk with fellow podcasters because I feel like you get it. Like, you know what it's like, you know what is involved. So I podcast and I've written a few books and love to blog and just share online with friends and just hopefully encourage them. I'm really passionate about the gospel, obviously, just in general, but then especially like how it applies to our day-to-day lives and how relevant and applicable it actually is. Cause I didn't realize that for a long time. So that's something that I love to talk about that is truly, I think, life-changing when you realize that it's not just that the gospel's for eternity and, you know, for eternal life, which it is, but to realize like it's more than that. And it applies to your day-to-day, I think totally just
it's for right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, specifically looking at motherhood and what it looks like to live in a post-resurrection gospel-centered world, following Jesus and letting that impact our motherhood and how we raise our children and how we love them. And so let's just jump in. You wrote a book about the lies that moms believe, which I think is very much needed. And you cover a lot of lies. Like, there's a lot of
more than I expected going into it.
There's a lot, which is good. Like, let's cover as many as we can. But what have you found? Like, let's talk about the problem first, then we can maybe talk about the solution. But like, what have you found are some of the really like the most common lies either that you've struggled with or that moms you've talked to struggle with?
It's crazy. I set out to write a blog post on lies that moms believe, and it ended up being what it is today. And a lot of that came about because I was talking with women online and I knew that there were lies that I was believing, but I was kind of just picking their brain, like seeing if this was a thing for a lot of other moms. And like the input was just overwhelming. I mean, we're all battling lies of one kind or another. And it was just, I didn't realize just how big of a problem it actually is until I started kind of getting that feedback and hearing from other moms. And so I think that what I came to discover is that the enemy is really clever in that, well, he's clever in a lot of ways, unfortunately, but he's really clever in that he'll kind of get these lies that are on two opposite ends of the spectrum, because he knows that some women are going to be a lot easier to be deceived by this end of it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other women are going to be really easily taken in by this end. And so just for example, like I started the book out talking about the lie that motherhood is a woman's highest calling. And, you know, I always kind of get a little cringy talking about that at first, because I'm afraid people are going to misunderstand me. And so that's a prime example though, that lie. And then the second lie in the book that motherhood is unimportant work. It's a prime example of how the enemy works in opposites. And so, you know, he likes to say, oh, motherhood is the pinnacle of a woman's life. And that is what you're good for. And that's all you're good for. And that is like the highest calling. And you know, if you're a single mom, or if you're a single woman, if you are dealing with infertility, if you are an empty nester, even like that's really discouraging to hear that's your highest calling. But then also I find that for moms, it's discouraging because as soon as you start to think that that is your highest calling, there are so many lies that then flow from there. Like,
yeah.
You know, oh, I'm supposed to find my identity in motherhood. I'm supposed to find my ultimate fulfillment in motherhood. This is, you know, if I don't do everything just perfectly, I'm going to ruin my children and they'd be better off with a different mom, you know? So like it leads to so many other different lies.
Yeah.
And I mean, that lie that motherhood's an important work, that'll drag you down real fast.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just another debilitating lie on the opposite end of the spectrum that, you know, it's not that just because motherhood isn't your highest calling that somehow it's unimportant. Mm-hmm. It's very important, but it receives its importance, I would say, from what your actual highest calling is. And that is to bear God's image, to be an ambassador of Christ, to fulfill the Great Commission. Like when you view motherhood as like an outworking of your ultimate highest calling, then you realize, oh, wow. Yeah, it actually is important. It's not the ultimate, but it's really important.
It's still up there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so true. I love that perspective of kind of hitting on the lies that maybe are on opposite ends of the spectrum, because some women may not struggle with one end of the spectrum. And then, you know, they may struggle with the opposite, but sometimes I think we struggle with both at different points, like different seasons or different, you know, just moment by moment in the day. Yes. We go, you know, we kind of waffle back and forth and we hear these lies and it's so easy to believe them because maybe we're struggling in a specific area or in a specific season or situation with our kids. And so touching on both of those, that Satan likes to work in extremes and he wants to, but he also wants to muddle the gray area sometimes too. Right. And he wants you to believe the extreme thing or not understand that there's nuance and that there are some gray areas. So I think it's really important that we hit on those things, but I love that you talked about how too, like those kind of are the overarching lies that can kind of spiral into so many other lies that we believe. And obviously scripture refutes these lies and we can dive into that too, but what does that look like? What has it looked like practically for you to either use scripture to refute those lies or like, what have you done to practically speak those truths in your everyday?
That's such a good question. Cause I think I love the practical side of things. Like it's great to know the truth and you know, all that, but to make it practical is like really where the rubber hits the road and you actually have life change happen. So, you know, with one of the lies that I mentioned a second ago that, I kind of indirectly mentioned it, but one of the lies in the book is that I'm supposed to be a perfect mom. And with that one, you know, that's one of those that I think is really, really pervasive. And we think that we're failing our kids if we're not dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's and being perfect. And so with something like that, what I've had to do, because that's one of the ones I battle the most personally, what I've had to do in the day-to-day, first of all, and I know that, you know, all of us as moms are really busy. And sometimes I think people get a little angry at me if I say this, but I will say though, that we have to be in the Word. Like I understand it feels like we're too busy for it, but I often say like, it's not that you're too busy to be in the Word. It's that you're too busy with too many roles and responsibilities and things not to be in the Word, because that is what makes the difference. You know, Paul talks about the fact that the Word is profitable for, you know, rebuke and admonition and training and righteousness. And at the end of that passage, he says, so that you'll be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we know motherhood's a good work. Like that is a very good work. But what he's saying there is that if you're not in the Word, if you don't know the truth of God's Word, you're not equipped.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been very convicted about that before, because when I read about like the Holy Spirit, you know, being given to us to remind us of what Jesus taught, the only way you can be reminded of something is if at some point you already knew it.
Amen.
So you have to know it. You have to know the truth, or else the Holy Spirit doesn't really have that. I mean, he can do what he wants, but he's over and above us. But at the same time, he doesn't fully have that material to work with per se, if it's not in our brain somewhere, if he can't bring it up and remind us of it, if that makes sense. Like he has to remind us of something, it has to be there. And so, you know, I obviously in this day and age, like it's hard sometimes to make the time for being in the Word, but it's so crucial. And I think in the day of technology, like we do have more options, you know, we can listen to it, we can be read to you, obviously in one of the Bible apps. We can just so many different things that we can harness, you know, technology for. We can honestly sometimes put technology away so that we can dive into the word and study it. But you have to first know the word, because you cannot take those thoughts captive unless you do know it. You're not going to know what a lie is.
Right.
If you don't know what the truth is. Mm-hmm. And so knowing the word is crucial. Making the time to be in it, however you can, is so important. And once you kind of like have done that first step of, okay, I'm in the word, I know what it says, I'm growing in my knowledge of it, then you can take the thoughts captive. But what I had to realize was, you know, I would read that verse about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and I would move on. I would just read that verse and read the next one, move on about my day. And that was that. And I didn't realize for a long time, oh, that's actually something that I literally have to stop and do. Mm. Like, I can't just be thinking the lies and just move on,
right?
Or distract myself from them or wallow in them or whatever reaction is. I have to actually stop. And that's not always easy to do, but I have to stop and I have to take those thoughts captive. Yeah. I have to preach truth to myself. I have to remember what God's word says about whatever the lie is that I'm believing. And then you have to walk in light of it. You have to believe that it's true for you, that it's not just true for the sister in Christ that you'd encourage with it. It's true for you. If it's true for her, it's true for you. And, you know, with that lie of having to be a perfect mom, sometimes walking it out looks like going to your kids and apologizing for what you did that was very imperfect. Yeah. But what I've found is that there is so much grace and so much goodness that comes from those moments. You know, it's not that we're called to be a perfect mom. It's that we're called to point our kids to that perfect savior.
Yeah.
And if we're telling our kids that we've got it all together and they're not seeing that we need Jesus too.
Yep.
They might not actually believe that they need him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was actually in the process of writing this book, my daughter was about 3, and there was one of those days, and I don't know what was wrong with us. Like, I have no idea, but I obviously got off the wrong side of the bed that morning. So did my daughter. And we were just letting each other have it all day. And like, I would lose my temper and then she'd holler back and just over and over and over. And I went to her, I don't know how many times, and just apologized and prayed with her. And finally that afternoon, I have about had it. Like, I'm just in utter despair over the fact that I cannot get it together.
Yeah.
And I go to her again. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to just pray with this child again. So I go to her again and I'm about to pray with her. And she takes my hand and she says, Mama, I'm going to pray. I said, okay. And I'll never forget it. This was 4 years ago, but she takes my hand, she bows her head and she goes, Jesus, I thank you that you forgive Mommy even when she's not very nice. And it hit me. It was like, she's getting it.
Yeah.
She's getting it. In her 3-year-old little mind, she's getting it. And like that, just that, I think about that all the time. I have since the past 4 years, you know, all those hard days when I do fail my kids in my mind, right? I think about that and I realize God's using it. It's not that we sin so that grace may abound, but we have so much hope and we rejoice knowing that God uses those moments. And if we're willing to proclaim the gospel in those moments and show our kids our need for Jesus,
yeah,
there's so much good that can come from that.
Yes.
And so I think just like walking out that truth with them and having them see us process that truth and apply it to ourselves, it helps them then be able to grasp it better and apply it as they get older. And that's something to be thankful for. Like, we don't rejoice in our sin, but it truly does give so much hope when you are feeling like a major failure of a mom.
Yeah, for sure.
I realize that. It does. It makes a big difference.
Well, and it puts it in a new perspective too, of that combating these lies, acknowledging our struggles and our sins, asking for forgiveness, all of these things helps us in our faith, but it can help them grow in their faith as well. Yeah. And that's ultimately what we're doing, is we're raising tiny disciples.
Yeah.
You know, we're raising these small humans to grow up to love Jesus. Ideally, that's the goal, to love Jesus and serve him and combat those lies and know the truth as well. And so while we are, you know, inviting Jesus into to renew our mind and to fight these lies and to know truth and know scripture, we're modeling that for them too. And that's beautiful. And I think that's exactly how it's supposed to be, that our sin, our struggles confirm for them their need also for a savior, but also just how to model that to them of, asking for forgiveness, seeking the Lord, asking him to fight these lies. And as we journey through this, they get to see that too, and ideally grow in their faith as well. So I think that's a beautiful concept and just reminder that this isn't even necessarily just for you. It is, but it isn't, you know, it's lies that moms believe, but how to combat them is also beneficial for our children.
Yes. So. And I think too, like, you know, when you're honest with your kids, and obviously you don't air just all your dirty laundry at an age inappropriate way or something, like, you know, you have to be wise, but you know, when you are open and honest with your kids and really humble about your own struggles, I think that really opens the doors for them to realize, okay, if I do the same thing, first of all, I can do the same thing. I can go to my parents and say, hey, I did X, Y, Z. And they're not going to come at me and go, how could you? I am so shocked that you would be capable of doing X, Y, Z. You know, like, they're going to feel more comfortable and more safe to have that open communication that we really want to have with our kids. And so I think it's just like this huge ripple effect that this action of apologizing and praying with our kids and covering things with the gospel, like, there's a huge ripple effect that it can have for I would say even generations, you know, if we think about, like, as our kids are embracing the truth, well, that's then going to have an impact on our grandkids. And
absolutely.
That's exciting to think about.
Yes, for sure. How has, I mean, you kind of touched on this, but how has God really used motherhood and the gospel and then, like, refuting these lies, like, all of these layers to grow your faith deeper?
I love this question because I, during my teen years and early 20s, I went through a long season of legalism and therefore did not fully, even though I was raised in a Christian home, did Bible drill, did mission trips, did the youth choir, like, even though, like, I was steeped in all of it, I, looking back, didn't fully understand the gospel during that really legalistic season. And I had this subconscious view in my head of God, just anytime I would do something wrong and commit some sin, I would view him as being up in heaven, basically with his, you know, arms, proverbial arms, so to speak, crossed and the scowl on his face, looking down at me with just this disdain and disappointment and harshness. And so I didn't realize just how much that had affected me until I became a mom. And I remember my daughter was less than a week old and I'm just overwhelmed with my love for this new little person. Like, just like amazed by how deep this love is for this person that I barely know. Right.
Yeah.
And it hit me one day, like, that's how God loves you. Yeah. You're his child. You're his daughter. That's how he loves you. And he loves you even more than that because he's God and he's sinless. And so that started kind of this trajectory of realizing that he's not harsh with his kids. He's not disappointed. He knows we are but dust. He knows what we struggle with. He understands. He's not shocked. He's there to help. The grace, it covers it. When he looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And so as I began to kind of go on this journey of really kind of breaking down those lies of, like, God's harsh towards his kids and the gospel's just for later on, it's not for now, you know, I began to really have my faith deepened so much as I came to really understand the gospel and to see, man, it's actually true that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's actually true. And so that has deepened my faith in so many ways. You know, I still struggle, obviously, with lies. I still battle them myself. But I tell people all the time, like, I wrote this book to encourage other women, but I've been amazed by how God has been so gracious to use it to encourage me. Because in the process of writing it, like, he freed me bit by bit from a lot of lies that I was believing about how God views me and, you know, what my standing is before him and what happens when I fail, what happens when I do something wrong. And, you know, am I ruining my kids? Am I ultimately responsible for how they turn out? Like, is that on me? We do have responsibilities, but we're not God. We're not, you know, kind of raised up to this level of expectation in his eyes in mothering. And so it's really, I found that his burden is light, that his yoke is easy. His burden is light. There's more rest. There's more freedom. There's more peace. And I have to redirect my thinking to that sometimes, obviously, but by and large, like, there's just so much more rest in the goodness of God and a deeper faith in the gospel and its implications than there ever were before motherhood when I was steeped in that legalistic understanding that really did not help me in any way.
Right. Can we just, this might be feeling like we're going backwards a little bit, but can we just talk about how the gospel specifically relates to our motherhood, like really specifically, because I think that sometimes it feels like it doesn't connect. Or some people might be listening being like, okay, I believe in God, but how does, and I know I should like raise my children to love Jesus, but like, really, what does the gospel have to do with my motherhood and how should it impact it?
Yeah. I didn't understand this for a long time, but I think more I come to like process it and write about it and think about it, I think it impacts all of it. It addresses all of it. You know, it's not just because we read in Deuteronomy, you know, before the new covenant and everything, we read in Deuteronomy that we're supposed to share God's word with our kids, you know, as we lay down and rise up and this and that and the other. And we are to do that. Absolutely. We're to do that. But if that's all you have in your brain, that you are to do that, and you don't also have the gospel there to coincide with it, to let you know, hey, when you don't share God's word perfectly with your kids, every moment that you have the opportunity to do so, guess what? The gospel's there for you, you know? And I think, so it's not that we don't share with our kids. We absolutely do, but it's that in those moments when we don't, we don't beat ourselves up for it. There's a lie in the book that says, you know, mommy guilt is just a part of life. Like it is just what it is. It's always going to exist. I'm always going to battle with it. It is just what a mother is supposed to feel, because we're imperfect. Right. But our guilt is not ours to carry anymore. Like that guilt was nailed to the cross. It is not ours to carry. And the moment that we start to carry it again, the moment that we let mommy guilt take over for whatever it is that we're feeling guilty about, we're forgetting the gospel. And the answer is not self-help. It's not just, oh, just pat yourself on the back. You know, you're a really great mom. It's not, oh, just, you know, distract yourself with Netflix or something, or go get a coffee. You'll feel better. It's no, like you can do those things. That can be a fun, helpful thing potentially, but you have to preach the gospel to yourself in those moments. The ultimate help is not found in any of those band-aids that you try to use to make yourself feel better. It's not about mantras you tell yourself. It's not about, you know, any of those things in culture. It's the gospel. It's knowing that you're forgiven. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. Your sin has been separated as far from you as the east is from the west. Like the Lord doesn't remember it. When he looks at you, he doesn't see it, you know? And so I think that is one really practical way that the gospel applies to motherhood, because I think one of the biggest struggles we all have is that mommy guilt, is that feeling of, I just am always going to have to battle with this. If you're a mom, then you feel mommy guilt, you know, and we are going to struggle. Like the enemy, the minute that you start to believe truth, the enemy's, you're a target. The enemy's going to come back and try to deceive you again. But you'll start to see, like I said, like more freedom, more rest, more peace as you do begin to apply the gospel to your motherhood, that you realize it's not about striving. It's not about, you know, making sure like you raise these perfect humans so God will be happy with you. You know, it's God's already approving of you because of Jesus. And so I think that just helps so much, because if you can mother from that place, man, you're going to be a happier mom.
Right.
You're going to enjoy motherhood more. Your relationship with your kids is going to be better. They're going to know you delight in them because you're more at peace.
Yeah.
Like it's just so much more practical than I ever gave it credit for.
Yeah. Well, and when you're allowing the gospel to transform your life, it's naturally going to transform your motherhood and it's going to naturally transform the way you interact with your kids and the way you engage with them and parent them and disciple them. So I think that was great. That was so helpful and practical in kind of understanding how the gospel can really apply to our motherhood. And just real quick, I want to touch on, you talk a lot about just knowing scripture and knowing the truth in order to combat the lies, and 100% yes and amen to that. But also Satan's really good about making things that sound true sound true. Like they're not, like things that sound good or sound true, but maybe they're not. And so just really wanting to like reiterate that point of when we know truth, we can spot the counterfeits no matter how good they look.
Exactly.
Cause like you said, like mommy guilt, that doesn't necessarily seem like the worst thing or even a lie, because that feels very real. It feels very true, but that's kind of this cultural thing of like putting down moms and motherhood of like, well, coffee in the morning and wine in the evening, like you're just trying to survive. Like it doesn't even have to be that way when we are living by the actual truth of scripture and by the transformation that comes from the gospel.
Yeah. you make a great point, like, you know, with knowing a truth and you can spot the counterfeit. Cause I remember being little and my mom used this analogy. Like, if you are a bank teller, you are not studying all the different ways, all the new ways that happen every single day that someone comes up with to make counterfeit money look real. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not studying the counterfeit money. You know what the real money looks like.
Absolutely.
And then it doesn't matter how close to the real thing the mm-hmm. counterfeit looks or the new method of coming up with it.
Yep.
You're going to know that it's counterfeit because exactly. you know what the real thing looks yeah. like.
I talk about this so much. I even have a whole episode on it, how the Canadian counterfeit department study yeah. the real thing so that they know that. Like, it's, I'm so passionate about that. Like, I just say it over yeah. and over again, because I so badly want us as women, as followers of Jesus, to know what is actually true yes. so we can be confident in that and stand on that when we're faced with things, especially when they just are so close to mm-hmm. truth, when it's yes. just off. But if a ship is sailing off by 1 degree, it's not going to go to its destination. You know, it's exactly. we have to be on that true north. We have to be knowing what truth actually is, and that's going to impact our lives, our marriages, our relationships, and our motherhood. And so it's so, I think it's just so vital.
Yeah. And you know what you're saying there about, like, with mommy guilt specifically, you know, I think that's one of those examples where the enemy tries to come with the counterfeit, because like you said, it on the surface, it sounds right. Like, oh, mm-hmm. you're realizing you did not do something right. You know, mm-hmm. like there is a problem here. Like, surely that's good. Right. But there's a difference between guilt, which yeah. is nailed to the cross, and conviction.
Right.
There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Mm-hmm. You know, the one is kind of like this picture in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve are hiding from God. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not going towards him. They're hiding from him. And that's what guilt and condemnation do. That's why the enemy loves to use them, because they're going to yeah. make you want to cower in a corner. They're not going to inspire you to do what conviction does, where it inspires you to come near to the Lord, to know there's yeah. forgiveness to be had. I need to repent. You know, but the Lord and I, like, we're okay. Like, we, you know, the blood covers mm-hmm. it, but at the same time, like, because I know that,
yeah,
I want to repent. I want to draw near to the one who is the answer for all of my struggles, you know? So I think that's one of those areas where that's a counterfeit. Like, the guilt, it seems good. Like, it seems like, oh, well, you're, at least you're not flippant over your sin,
right?
But it's not quite that due right. north, that actual mm-hmm. truth of the Holy Spirit convicting you of something and absolutely. Inspiring you to repent. It's a yeah. different thing.
Well, I know we have a lot of moms that listen. So what is something you would want to just leave with them today? Just to make sure if they hear nothing else, this is what you would want to leave them with.
So I would encourage them to read the tail end of Romans 7 along with the beginning of Romans 8. Because, you know, many of us are familiar with there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I guess for a long time, I read just that verse by itself. Mm. And I read it with my own interpretation added on. Basically, you know, there's no condemnation as long as you have it all together. Mm. But I backed up finally one day and I read it in context. And it's at the end of Romans 7 where Paul is making that famous lament where he's like, what a wretched man I am. Like, I am not doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I'm actually doing those things I know I'm not supposed to be doing. Yeah. But that's where he says, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So I would just encourage you to camp out in that passage, because I think that the gospel truth that is there will help you in a multitude of yeah. parenting struggles and issues. It battles that mommy guilt. And another thing I would just say real quick, there's a lot of differing opinions. You know, the mommy wars exist. There's a lot of, well, you know, you're only a good mom if you breastfeed, or you're only a good mom if you homeschool, or like, there's so many different
right.
things. And I would say, like, we need to turn off those voices, all of them. I might do some of the things that are quote unquote, you know, the best way, you know, according to somebody. But we need to turn off all those voices and remember James 1:5 that says, if you lack wisdom, like if you do ultimately like actually need to know, do I need to homeschool or do I need to public school? Do I need a private school? Do I need whatever it is? He says there that if you ask God for wisdom, he delights in giving it to you. Mm-hmm. And he loves doing that. He yeah. loves giving you the wisdom that you need. And so if you're struggling today, if your struggle is not with guilt, but it's with thinking you have to do motherhood the way the culture tells you to, or even the way a sister in Christ tells you to, if you'll go to the Lord, if you'll walk by the Spirit, if you'll yeah. seek him for wisdom, you're going to get the answer that you need, and you're going to have a lot more peace because mm-hmm. those burdens are going to start to fall off of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Invite them into your motherhood for sure. Absolutely. That's great. So just as a fun question to wrap up the episode today, what is a resource or practice that you are loving right now that is helping you to stay rooted?
Such a good question. So this is actually a new thing here recently. I have struggled in my prayer life for a very long time. It's not that hard usually for me to be in the Word. It is very hard usually for me to be in prayer. Mm-hmm. I'm a doer. I'm a like do the thing, you know, and for me to sit and pray is like, I'm not doing anything. So I finally, a few weeks ago, the Lord and I just had a breakthrough moment. And it was like so obvious that the Lord was kind of breaking me free from some of the lies I'd been believing about, oh, prayer is kind of a waste of time because, you know, I've got to go do these things. And so I've been praying more. Well, I was telling a friend of mine about this and she's like, well, do you want me to be your like accountability partner? Like, I know that you're wanting to have like an extended prayer time on a daily basis, as you know, as much as you can, especially during the week. And do you want me to kind of keep you accountable with that? And that has been a huge help to me. Like, I know that she's going to ask me, and there have been days where I'm like, friend, it didn't happen. And she's so sweet. She's like, there is grace there, you know, and she reminds me of the gospel, but I know she's going to ask me. And so, and then on those days when I can say, hey, I had a 20-minute prayer time today and it was miraculous, like that I actually did it and it was great. And you know, this is what the Lord just showed me, you know, it's been a really, really sweet thing. And we've only been doing this for a couple of weeks, but it has been just one of the sweetest, most helpful things lately to just kind of keep me on track with that desire that I have to not let other distractions and other things come in. That's just been a really sweet thing. I'm all about community and the body of Christ and how it's supposed to help each of us and help each other. So that's been a big thing for me lately.
I know. And those are two things that people don't want: sitting still and accountability. And you're doing both. So good job.
It took me a while.
Oh, for sure. It's hard, but it can be so good when you just do, when you force yourself to just sit there and be in God's presence and talk with him. And then also setting up that accountability, I think, is really, really powerful. Big advocate of that.
Yes. It makes a difference. It really does.
Well, it has been so good chatting with you. Where can people find you? I'll be sure to link your book, but where can they come and connect with you and learn more about this and how to combat their lies?
Well, this has been so fun, Lauren. Honestly, I'm just so honored that I had this opportunity to chat with you. So my website is Hargraves, that's my last name, homeandhearth.com. So there's lots of links on there. But I always point people in terms of social media, I point them to Instagram because I prefer it.
Yeah.
I am on Facebook. If you want to find me, Hargraves Home and Hearth, it is there. But I definitely, of all the different platforms, I definitely spend more time on Instagram. I am just at Rebecca Hargraves on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, and I will absolutely be sure to link all of that and to share about the book, The Lies Moms Believe and How the Gospel Refutes Them, so that they can all grab a copy of that themselves.
Oh, thank you. This has been a joy, and I hope that it's an encouragement.
It has been. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Rooted and Established podcast. As always, I'm so grateful you took time to listen. I would be honored if you take a moment to leave a 5-star rating and positive review. This helps other potential listeners know that this is a podcast worth listening to. And while you're at it, screenshot the podcast and put it on your social media or stories to share with your friends. That is worth 1,000 thank yous. But if you tag me, I'll be sure to personally thank you myself. I hope you have a great week, and we'll chat again soon.